Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 23, studying Matthew chapter 23. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. There you will find links to everything that we offer. Audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to our IGH 260 broadcasts, and links to our Bible study courses. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. One last free resource for you to use. On July 2, 1893, John William McGarvey delivered a unique sermon on baptism. The premise, in McGarvey's own words, "Imagine that we have never heard the word baptism." That sounds like an impossible task. But McGarvey briefly scanned the first two chapters in Matthew, and then he slowed down when he reached Matthew 3, where the word baptism appears for the first time. As he worked his way through the New Testament, imagining that neither he nor his audience had ever encountered the word baptism before, McGarvey said this, "Why, there's a word I never saw before. I never heard of it. I wonder what it means that these people were baptized by that man in the River Jordan. I would like to know what it means, but I believe I will let the New Testament itself explain it to me if it will." And so it went. Every time that McGarvey encountered the word baptism, he would, quote, "let the New Testament explain," unquote, itself. If you have never heard what the Bible teaches about baptism, you need to read and or hear McGarvey's lesson. If you have heard about baptism all of your life, if you have your mind made up, and if you are convinced that you know everything that the Bible teaches about it, then you still need to read and or hear McGarvey's lesson. To do so, go to our free page at internationalgospelhour.com. That's internationalgospelhour.com/free. And click on the photo link of McGarvey in the top row. You can also find that link at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. Let's return to our study of Matthew chapter 23. In our last broadcast, the first in this week's series, we summarized the key terms and we began our overview and outline of the chapter. In today's broadcast, we back up two verses and then we continue where we left off. Once we complete our overview, our outline of the chapter, we will start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, we read the third set of woes, Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "You major in minors, and you minor in majors." Verse 23, "Woe to you! You are hypocrites! You tithe of the smallest of spices, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law. You miss justice, you miss mercy, you miss faith. You should do these as well as the others." In verse 24, "You are blind guides. You strain out a gnat, and you swallow a camel." In Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26, the fourth woes, Jesus again to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You emphasize the outside, you forget the inside." Verse 25, "Woe to you! You are hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup, of the dish, but the inside, they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." In verse 26, "You are blind. You must clean the inside of the cup and the inside of the dish so that the outside will be clean. In Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, the fifth woes. Jesus to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You are like whitewashed tombs." Verse 27, "Woe to you, you are hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs that are beautiful outside, but are filled with dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Verse 28, "You appear outwardly righteous, but you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." In chapter 23, verses 29 and 30, the sixth woes. Jesus continuing to speak to both the scribes and the Pharisees. "Your devotion to the prophets' tombs betrays who you really are." Verse 29, "Woe to you, you are hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets. You adorn the monuments of the righteous." In verse 30, "You say, if we lived when our fathers lived, we would not have been involved in the blood of the prophets." Matthew 23, verses 31 through 36, as Jesus continued to speak to the scribes and the Pharisees, he noted that they were witnesses against themselves. In verse 31, Jesus said, "You are witnesses against yourselves. You are the sons of those who killed the prophets." Verse 32, "You fulfill your father's guilt." Verse 33, "You are serpents. You are a brood of vipers. How can you escape hell?" Verse 34, "I will send you prophets, wise men, scribes. You will kill some of them. You will crucify some of them. You will beat them in your synagogues, and you will persecute them in cities." Verse 35, "Because of this, the righteous blood of others will come upon you, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah." Verse 36, "Assuredly, I say, all these things will come upon this generation." In Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, we read Jesus' lament for Jerusalem. Verse 37, "O Jerusalem, the one who killed prophets, the one who stoned prophets, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks." Verse 38, "Your house is desolate." Verse 39, "I say to you, you will see me no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" That completes our overview, our outline of the chapter. Let's start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought analysis of Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. In the first verse of the chapter, the text tells us that Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. Though Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples, he spoke primarily about the scribes and the Pharisees. As we read through the chapter, we will see that Jesus' language reflects the presence of the scribes and the Pharisees, some of them anyway, as being in the audience. Why do we say that? As you read through the chapter, it becomes increasingly obvious that what Jesus said was directed more to the scribes and the Pharisees than just said about them. The "about them" part of the chapter, in which Jesus warned the multitudes about the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, continues through verse 12, the section that we are presently surveying. The dramatic shift, that is, the move from speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees to speaking directly to the scribes and the Pharisees, starts with Jesus' first woe in Matthew 23, verse 13, where we read, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That's the first of at least seven distinct woes directly aimed at these leaders. And yet, as we just noted, the repeated warnings he makes to them was said with the multitudes and his disciples present as well. The point? It seems that Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees as they were part of the larger audience that included the multitudes and Jesus' disciples. As we think about the general context of the last few chapters, that makes sense. Remember, Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. If Matthew's account serves as a complete record of everything that has transpired since then, Jesus has not left Jerusalem except to travel to Bethany, where he spent one night, Matthew 21, verse 17. When Jesus returned to the city the next morning, he cursed the fig tree, chapter 21, starting in verse 18, after which Jesus entered the temple where he was challenged about his authority, Matthew 21, starting in verse 23. There does not appear to be any time break after this to indicate that Jesus either left the city or that he left the temple area. The three parables that address the chief priest and the elders in Matthew 21 and Matthew 22 appear to have been told in the same temple area. As we survey the context of these three chapters, Matthew chapters 21 through 23, the leaders are present throughout them. In Matthew 21:23, Jesus was confronted about his authority by the chief priest and the elders of the people. Jesus answered them in verse 24. All the pronouns after that, they, themselves, we, and so forth, that is, subsequent to Jesus' reply, was directed to these same leaders. Jesus' parables were addressed to them, verse 31. As Matthew 22 starts, marking the beginning of the third parable in the series, Jesus was still speaking to them, chapter 22, verse 1. The Pharisees were still engaged with Jesus in chapter 22, verse 15 and following, where we read about the paying taxes to Caesar challenge. Next, the Sadducees challenged Jesus on the same day, Matthew 22, verse 23 and following. Afterward, the Pharisees, having heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, sent a lawyer to test Jesus about the great commandment, chapter 22, verse 34 and following. In that context, Jesus challenged them about the Messiah-David connection, chapter 22, verse 41 and following. And then Matthew 23 starts. If the context stretching back to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was contiguous, with Jesus still in Jerusalem and still in the temple area, then it's not surprising at all to see the scribes and the Pharisees to have been part of the multitudes that Jesus spoke to. We have only traced the presence of these religious leaders back to Matthew 21. But if we went all the way through Matthew up to this point, we would see many contexts where the religious leaders were present to see and or hear what John or Jesus' disciples were saying or doing. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 23. This reminder as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.